This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
What's going on, everyone? Welcome to another exciting episode of
Point Number News!
The only news source that provides anything and everything anime and manga related. And we don't bore you. We get into it. Let's do it.
I must go. Must leave this house. I must go. The time is now. I must go. It's time to get out.
Okay, people. So before we get started, in case you haven't already, please hit that subscribe button and hit that bell to get notified when we drop new videos. New episodes of Forever News come out every Saturday, 12 p.m. EST. And then we re-upload some of the segments into smaller form videos throughout the week for your viewing pleasure to get to those stories easier. So yeah, I'd appreciate it if you hit those buttons. Let's jump into the stories. And first on the agenda, I feel like it was inevitable. I kind of called this for quite some time now. I was actually shocked that this lasted as long as it did, because Shonen Jump has announced that not only they got new series coming in, and we'll talk about that in a different story, but they are canceling a big manga. Well, maybe not big per se, but a manga that lasted a lot longer than I thought it would, because I think as it stands right now, this series was about 35 or so chapters long, which is pretty lengthy. It almost made it the full long year, but still, nevertheless, this is one of the things that makes me question, like, Shonen Jump, do you not want series to make it through the threshold? I mean, I feel like Shonen Jump has been going in a different direction. As a matter of fact, before we even get into all of that, let me tell you what got canceled. Doron Dororon by Gen Osuka has officially ended with chapter 36 in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 39/2022. And I spoke about Doron Dororon over on the main channel. I made a first impression a while back, and I was like, yo, this got potential, and I liked the art, the character designs. It was kind of a little chill, but at the same time, it looked like it had potential to get absolutely crazy. But with its 36th chapter, Doron Dororon is getting canceled, and it's just making me look at Shonen Jump in a different light, because I'm noticing more and more that I don't know if it's that they're trying to go a different direction. I don't know if it's that they're feeling like this whole family-friendly vibe is the way to go, a la everything that they've been doing lately with, like, Dragon Ball Super Superhero. A lot of the marketing behind it was, hey, look, it's a family-friendly film. And then now, if you look at, like, half of Shonen Jump magazine, it's not even battle series anymore. There's Blue Box, that is, like, a romance sports series. There's Witch Watch. I believe that's not battle series. Don't quote me on that. There's Akane Banashi, that is about Rakugo. There's just, like, a ton of series in this magazine. Sakamoto Days. I mean, it's about an assassin, but it's not necessarily a battle series per se. There's like half of the magazine not even being battle shonen. So it almost makes me feel like they're looking at it as, well, we already got the head honchos of battle shonen, right? They got One Piece that, even though it's on its final arc, it'll probably go for quite some years, maybe 3 to 5 more years at the very least. They got Jujutsu Kaisen, that is the highest selling manga outside of One Piece. Of all the newbies, Jujutsu Kaisen sells the most. Of course, Chainsaw Man over there on Jump Plus. They got, you know, Black Clover, My Hero. They got a few ones, but a lot of these series, I keep on saying it, are coming to a close. Black Clover is on its final arc. My Hero Academia, Horikoshi, is probably going to end it by the beginning of next year. Like, a lot of these shonen, Jujutsu Kaisen, Gege said about a year or two ago that this is not going to be long. We were reaching the halfway point. Marshall Magic and Muscles is on its final arc. Like, a lot of different stuff is coming to a close. You need new battle series to enter the scene now, because if not, it's going to be vacant. Because, yo, when Black Clover ends at My Hero, which they'll probably end close to around the same time, what are we going to have left? Because, like I said, again, One Piece is ending. You know, it got a few years, but nevertheless, it's on its final arc. Jujutsu Kaizen. Like, One Piece for the next 3 to 5 years can't be the only battle series that's carrying the magazine. And if they think that they're going to skate on by with the same fandom with putting out a lot of these newer non-battle shonen, you know, romance slice of life stuff, they are mistaken. Because at the end of the day, a big portion of their readership, in fact, the thing that drives that magazine and drives the shonen genre in general, make no mistake about it, are battle series. Battle series are what keep things going. That's what keeps the lights on over there. So while they're experimenting and while they're seeing some success in certain avenues of like family friendly content, at the end of the day, if you start phasing out battle shonen and the main reason why your core audience is there to begin with, you're gonna see a massive fail. And considering Dororon was already like 30 something chapters in, you had a new battle series that by the time My Hero goes out, by the time Black Clover goes out, this one will be already with enough chapters to get an anime adaptation and keep things moving forward. I just don't see where their end game is of if they're ending all of these series within the next couple of years. Shonen Jump is going to look completely different. We're not going to have all of these big battle series anymore. So how are they planning on doing this? You need series like Dororon. The fact that they got rid of Ayashimon, those two right there could have been the next up after this next wave of Marshall and whatnot ending and whatnot. 2024 could have been their year, or 2025. So I don't know what they're planning. I don't know what their end goal is. If they're just trying to revamp everything in general and we're going to get within the next few years just 90% of the magazine being other stuff than battle shonen. But they're going to find out. Their pockets are going to find out when people are starting to abandon the genre. Because especially when somebody falls out from like their favorite series or whatnot, it can also lead to them just falling out of the medium, the genre in general. So Shonen Jump, play your cards right. You think that you're not going to allow none of these series to come through and go through the door like Dororon, and Ayashimon and all of these series that had potential. You're going to see that once all of these titans come to a close, you ain't going to have nothing. And the magazine's going to fail in a market that is already shrinking. Magazine sales, physical publication for Weekly Shonen Jump, Shonen Sunday, all of these year after year decrease. What do you think is going to happen when all of these other big dogs end and there's nothing to replace them? Because you'd have to start from scratch. Like right now, even, let's just say a new manga debuts in Shonen Jump. Whatever's going to take the place of Dororon. And hypothetically, let's say it'll be a battle series, which I don't think that's what's replacing it, but let's just say it will take 2 years for it to have about 100 chapters, which is usually when they announce an anime adaptation. So by then, Black Clover and My Hero Academia will more than likely be done. I don't see them being around within that next generation. So you're going to have a very vacant magazine. Jujutsu Kaisen might be over by that point as well. Shonen Jump, I don't know what your game plan is, but don't think that abandoning Shonen Battle series is going to do anything but destroy you, like bottom line. And by no means am I trying to be all doom and gloom about it, and it's not like Dororon was this masterpiece, but if they continue on this course of axing constantly all of the upcoming battle series, they're gonna be in trouble, bottom line. But yeah, people, Dororon by Gen Oscar ending with this latest chapter, chapter 36, and it's a bummer, man. That manga had a lot of potential, and yeah, it seems as though Shonen Jump, they want us to riot, because I did say I would riot if they canceled Dororon, and well, this is my riot. Hey, stop that. Let's carry on. Next up, we got both really good and really bad news for Undead Unluck. I guess let's get the bad news out the way first, because yeah, I'd rather end off on a positive note than backwards. So for starters, Undead Unluck is probably going to be ending really, really soon. Because according to this information, courtesy of the unofficial Weekly Shonen Jump account over on Twitter, it seems like, according to early leaks, Undead Unluck is getting a color page and a 23-page extension next week in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 40. Nothing confirmed yet, but it would follow the ending pattern of series such as Dr. Stone, Haikyuu, or The Promised Neverland. So more than likely, there's a huge possibility that within the next couple weeks, Undead Unluck will be ending. And we just spoke about in the previous story, in case you missed it, that, hey, Dororon is ending, a series that was 36 chapters in, a new battle series that came into Jump. And then now, Undead Unluck, y'all trying to get rid of as well? Because granted, there's some good news that, like I said, we'll get to in a second, but what? I understand that this new motto, courtesy of Demon Slayer, ushering in the new wave of how they're doing things, seems to be like, hey, Let the anime breathe on its own. Don't put out new manga. Just end the manga and let the anime ride. It worked very well for Demon Slayer, and that seems to be what they're trying to go with. But they have to forget the home front of manga fans. Hello, Weekly Shonen Jump Magazine, a manga magazine. Hello. Like I've said before, if you continue on to end all of these Shonen Jump series early, the magazine is going to be very vacant. And honestly, the other competitions from not only just other manga publications, but you know, webtoons, manhwa, all of that stuff is eventually going to catch up and compete, because the biggest thing in this whole thing is Battle Shonen. And now Undead Unluck, another one that more than likely is going to be biting the big one, because it seems to be the circumstance for not only bigger series, but I remember also when they ended Red Hood, it was like in the same circumstance, the same setup with the big color and extended pages and all of that stuff. They're probably ending Undead Unluck, and it's going to really suck to be an Undead Unluck fan of the manga, because dog, it sounded like it was going and going. I haven't read it in a bit. I was like in the 20s or 30s or something like that, but it was really dope. And yeah, that's the bad news. But at the very least, have no fear, Feneb comes bearing bad news but also good news. And the good news is that Undead Unluck's anime announcement, we talked about it a little bit more so when it was a leak, but the anime announcement is confirmed. It says here Undead Unluck TV anime is scheduled to air 2023, and they already got some visuals and whatnot going on. But even bigger is that we already know the studio attached to them, and this studio, they don't pop out that often. They have some original titles. They have one main title that they work on, and they've been working on for pretty much the last 10 years or so. David Production will helm the anime adaptation for Undead Unluck. David Production, they're the people behind the JoJo's Bizarre Adventure anime, all the way stemming back from part one that came out in 2012 till now. And David Production, they're awesome. They haven't let me down yet. JoJo's Bizarre Adventure, you could say what you want about a certain part. Maybe you didn't like a part as much as you liked another part, but David Productions, in terms of being an anime studio, they are awesome. They're great. So more than likely a very well done Undead Unluck anime. But again, it's at the cost of, yo, the manga's over now. And yeah, hopefully they tie up all the loose ends and loose threads and whatnot, because that would be really shit to have like a rushed ending just so we can get the anime out. Again, I'm not saying that that's what happened. I'm not caught up with Undead Unluck, but it sounds like it's ending. And at the same time, boom, anime announcement, 2023, David Production, great studio. It might be a great anime, but yeah, you gotta take the good with the bad, I guess, huh? So yeah, people, Undead Unluck manga might be coming to an end within the next week or so, and anime coming with David Production behind it. So the anime is in good hands. Let's hope that the source material is done correctly as well. Okay, next up, I gotta be a little bit gentle with this one, because yeah, YouTube, they don't like you talking about certain aspects of certain things. But the creator of Bleach, Taite Kubo, in case you don't know, he has this club outside whole situation where fans can sign up and they get like questionnaires, they get all sorts of stuff. And I believe, don't quote me on this, but I believe this comes from Club Outside. Well, it's been really colorful with Bleach and Taite Kubo throughout the years with a lot of instances. In case you don't know, there has been some scandals back in the day that were very unfortunate, and they affected Kubo very negatively. So that really sucked. Like, there was a brothel that was opened up, and it was using like Bleach's logo, and it was called like The Burning, something like that. Like, it was a really bizarre situation. And then there was that whole scandal as well, where somebody from that type of industry, you know, the film, adult film industry, was cosplaying as Taite Kubo, and it was a very big deal to the point where Kubo was embarrassed. I want to say he left Twitter for a while because of that, because it was just like, yo, in a conservative filled place like Japan, where they don't play that shit, especially Shueisha and Jump and all that stuff, they was not liking it. The memes wasn't funny, because there was people that were cosplaying as this... Oh my god, it was really bad. So to hear this one right now, I'm like, maybe Kubo's just embracing the meme at this particular point, because somebody had asked him a question, or they were referencing certain things, and well, here it is. They said, "Teacher, have you ever seen a secondary creation of your own work? Also, what do you think about such creations?" Kubo said, "As long as the fans can enjoy each other, I think it's okay to do more and more. Please send me blank for men because I read. And if you don't know what blank is, I highly encourage you to understand about the adult film industry. Well, no, I don't encourage you. Whoa, I take that back. Pretty much he's talking about adult content of fans drawing adult content of Bleach. He wants to see it, preferably adult content for men, which I'm not even gonna lie. Wow. Probably Kubo feels liberated now. Maybe back then he wasn't so jarred about a lot of that stuff. Who knows? Maybe he might have laughed it off. We don't know. It could have been Shueisha and Shonen Jump that were like, this is a bad look for you. Take it down. Go away for a while or whatever it takes. This is a PR nightmare. But now Kubo's like, you want my anime, dog? Y'all coming to me this time around. I got the leverage. So on my club outside, I'm gonna say what I want. I'm gonna answer the questions at my discretion. And I'm gonna do what I do. And mad props to Kubo. Mad respect for him just flat out saying something like that. I know it sounds funny and whatnot, but if you really look at it, this is a creator that very seasoned, a legend pretty much at this point. Definitely a legend. One of the highest selling mangaka of all time. That is like, hey, I'm gonna talk about what I wanna talk about. I mean, there's other mangaka that talk about stuff like that. I mean, for crying out loud, I wanna say the author of Black Lagoon has done a lot of doujinshi for Fate Stay Night stuff. So there's mangaka that indulge in it. Somebody on the caliber of Taite Kubo, like, he's up there with the Masashi Kishimoto's, he's up there with all of those legends. For him to just be talking casually like that with a fan, not only is that really dope that he's just himself, he don't care, but also it shows that he's liberated. It shows that Jump can't control this man anymore, and I'd imagine they probably couldn't, or they had a hard time controlling him back then, and now he's like, I'm Taite Kubo, I'm that dude. So massive props to Taite Kubo for that one. And I ain't gonna lie, I just kind of had a little laugh because the day before that I was talking with a friend and I was actually schooling him to all of this history of Taite Kubo and the things that was done regarding, again, the brothel and all that, and then the next day I'm like, oh, okay. Dragon Ball fans, hear me now, believe me later. No. Dragon Ball fans, I got a couple of pieces of news. We got to talk about the manga. We got to talk about the Dragon Ball Super superhero film. I guess, once again, let's get the bad news out the way first. And you could argue bad news. It's kind of a mixed bag, I guess you would say, regarding the manga. And then we'll talk about the pretty freaking insane news regarding the anime. And the quote-unquote bad news, again, I use that loosely. At the end of the day, this is a benefit to the authors, so shout-outs to them for that. It says, Dragon Ball Super will be entering a short break to prepare for the next arc of the series, starting in V-Jump issue number 11, 2022, with no return date announced. Hold up! Oh, wow. I thought it was just a month. I'm almost certain it's a month. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it was just a month. But according to this, it says it doesn't have no return date announced, and that's kind of scary because, yeah, why with no return date? Like, when Boruto had that break, they were like, okay, it's just a 1 month break. Likewise with all the other series that have recently had big breaks, One Piece with that 1 month break, Black Clover with that 3 month break. Why no return date? That's a little bit scary. I'm just saying, like, I hope there's no problems, I hope there's no issues. It could very well be that, one, they're giving them a rest, because at the end of the day, I'd imagine it's taxing on Toyotaro. Like, you got to think about Toyotaro's situation, and he's the guy that's doing the art for Dragon Ball Super. He's been doing it since the beginning. He is basically replacing Toriyama in terms of the artist of the manga. He got a lot on his plate, right? Not only does he have to delegate and deliberate and go back and forth regarding the story with Toriyama and everybody else involved in the creation of Dragon Ball Super's manga, but then on top of that, he has to draw the manga, and on top of that, he has to make sure that he's drawing the manga to look as closely as possible to these iconic characters. Like, that is a very, very tall order. We see in Boruto that, especially early on, that wasn't quite working out the greatest of matching Masashi Kishimoto's designs and whatnot. So Toyotaro has his hands full. I'm hoping that this is not that long of a break. Again, I really hope that it's just a month, two max. Any more than that, and it's gonna be a little bit like, whoa, what's happening here? I mean, they very well could be holding off until maybe they're gonna announce Dragon Ball Super TV anime returning, and then boom, the manga returns right with that. That would be very big, but yeah, I didn't know that, especially after leaving on such a freaking amazing part. If you read the Dragon Ball Super manga right now, while some people a little bit critical about it, me personally, I absolutely loved how chapter 87 left off. It was insane. It was a massive setup for the future, and I'm just hoping that they're using this time to really map out where they're going to go with the series moving forward. I hope this isn't like trouble in paradise, so to speak. But we got to wait and see. So that's what we have regarding the Dragon Ball Super manga. It's going on a break. It'll be back. No return date as of yet. Again, it's probably just a month, but it could be longer than that. Now, onward to insane, iconic, revolutionary news regarding Dragon Ball Super Superhero the movie. Now, that's been a roller coaster ride of a conversation because, in case you don't know, to give you guys, bring you up to speed, Dragon Ball Super Superhero the movie over there in Japan has not been performing very well. It's done in 60 days. The last time I checked, it was 60 days, 17 million. It was like less than half or about half of what Broly did in 60 days. And in terms of like comparing it to something that released recently, One Piece Film Red, One Piece Film Red blew it out in 5 days compared to its 60-day total. So it was just ridiculous over there. And that had me thinking like, okay, so it's really, really dead on arrival. Like they really hate it. But over here in the West, it is not the same. This is going to change a lot of things, I'd imagine, because they usually use Dragon Ball as the blueprint. Well, if it worked or it didn't work for Dragon Ball, it may work with X, Y, and Z series. And basically, over here in the West, Dragon Ball Super Superhero has been killing it. For starters, the first day sales of Dragon Ball Super Superhero outdid every anime movie over here in the West in history. It outdid Pokemon the first movie. It outdid it all. What I want to say was either $10.1 or $10.2 million day one. That right there alone speaks volumes of, oh, Japan is no longer the definitive indicator on whether or not something will pop over here in the West. Because again, it's been failing over there. It did 17 million in 60 days. We did 10 million in a day. That right there, massive, huge, humongous. So one thing that it shows is that maybe creators might take some more chances on the West and not completely focus solely on, well, we got to get it popping in Japan. And if it doesn't work in Japan, who cares about everywhere else? We just got to get it to work in Japan because look at that. So that's already iconic. But then it's opening weekend. What did it do? Because, you know, it could have been a little fluke. You know, day two could have been $1 million or something like that. And by no means was it. Dragon Ball Super Superhero takes down Beast on its way to a U.S. weekend box office victory. Dragon Ball Super Superhero secured a weekend box office victory in the U.S., surpassing Universal's survival thriller Beast and landing in first place with $20.1 million. Literally outdid Japan's revenue from 60 days. The West had something to say, Doug. The West got something to say. As Variety reports, the latest Dragon Ball Super installment about doubled the amount of North American ticket sales The Beast, starring Idris Elba, collected at the U.S. weekend box office. That film opened to a modest $11.5 million, while Sony's action thriller Bullet Train slipped to third place after hauling in another $8 million in its third weekend of release. We're absolutely thrilled that Dragon Ball fans could come together to experience and enjoy this amazing film in theaters, Michael Berger, Crunchyroll Senior VP of Global Commerce, said in a statement. Crunchyroll thanks all the fans, whether or not you are a super fan or a newcomer, and we hope they come back again and again. The new movie is a direct sequel to the Broly film that was released initially in 2018 and draws focus away from Goku and Vegeta in favor of Gohan and Piccolo. Broly debuted at $22.3 million over a six-day holiday weekend in the U.S., but experienced a steep revenue drop in its second weekend, which can be a common occurrence for anime features. Superheroes' box office takings are tracking above or close to the performance of other recent anime titles. Jujutsu Kaisen Zero, for instance, grossed $17.6 million during its opening weekend. Yo, we beat out Jujutsu Kaisen. While Demon Slayer the Mugen Train enjoyed the biggest foreign language debut in U.S. box office history when it opened to $21.2 million. So day one, Dragon Ball Superhero beat everything else. It was, again, it beat Pokemon the first movie, all sorts of stuff. Opening weekend, it still did phenomenal, but Mugen Train, which Demon Slayer is pretty much the new Dragon Ball Z to a certain degree, yeah, it didn't quite beat out that, but it still beat out live action stuff. It still beat out Beast and all of these other things. Like, that's crazy. Dragon Ball Super Superhero is currently playing on 3,007 screens, including 327 IMAX screens, which garnered $3.4 million in U.S. ticket sales alone during the opening weekend. The second Dragon Ball Super movie places the characters we've come to know and love in all new aesthetic as the franchise's first ever 3D CG animated film. According to IGN's review, the film manages... according to my review. Go watch my review, dog. We ain't talking about nobody else's review. My review on my main channel, I break it down for you. I give you the ins and outs. I was somebody that came into this movie like, get it out of here. I don't even want to see it. To actually... being pleasantly surprised. Go check out my review. But yeah, this is going to mean a lot of different things. Like I said earlier, this is going to mean that they're going to probably start looking at the West as maybe we don't got to try everything out in Japan first. Also, this might be an indicator that 3D CG, if they could at the very least meet the levels of what Dragon Ball Super Superhero provided with these new visuals, they might start adapting more and more. So that's the good and bad to a certain degree, because I ain't gonna lie, like for the most part, the 3D CG actually did work. I don't know what the hell they were thinking with those terrible trailers that they put out. Marketing was abysmally horrible, just outright bad. But it actually worked pretty well. They might start saying, yo, you know, we're going to just straight off the gate come through with, you know, 3D CGI Undead Unluck anime, 3D CGI this one, 3D CGI that one. So that might be the negative, because just because it worked with Dragon Ball Super Superhero doesn't mean people are going to accept it elsewhere. And also, it's like, I'm always going to be 2D at heart. I don't care. I get it. We probably are on the side of it already is too late and 2D is going to lose the war. But yeah, so there's a good and a bad to it. If you've seen the film, of course, let me know what you think. How do you feel about the success breaking Pokemon, the first movie's record day one, coming in with 20 million, surpassing Japan opening weekend? I mean, that's also a clear indicator that Dragon Ball's fandom is much larger in the US than it is in its home country of Japan. That's insane. It's pretty much like the opposite of One Piece. One Piece over there exploding, over here I'm sure it'll do well, but it's not going to come anywhere close to the numbers of Superhero or what it did in Japan. And yeah, people, there you have it. Dragon Ball Super manga going on a hiatus that is undetermined at this time, and Dragon Ball Superhero the film did pretty freaking awesome. I'm happy in a way, because I enjoy the film. I was thoroughly surprised and impressed with a lot of it. Next up, on the last episode of Forever World Z, no. On the last episode of Forever News, I told you guys that there was going to be some type of Bleach info incoming for this upcoming issue of Shonen Jump, and from my understanding, it seems like this is it. I'm not sure if there's anything else, but yeah, it kind of is cool, I guess, in a way. Not nothing extravagant. I mean, let me just read it to you. A test to measure the knowledge of World of Bleach. Bleach 100 examination will be held online. All participants will get a digital report card. Hashtag Bleach Thousand Year Blood War. So they're doing like basically a knowledge contest of Bleach to see how much people know and whatnot. I think this is also just to rally people up, get people excited again. I ain't gonna lie, I probably would kill it. I know my Bleach to a certain degree, my lord. I mean, I'm not the greatest with names per se, but I know what's up. I would love to actually take that. In fact, when it opens up, maybe I'll do like a video somewhere. I don't know, maybe my main channel or something, like, let's see how much I know about Bleach. But yeah, that's pretty much the big Bleach news for the most part, that they're doing like a knowledge quiz. If there's anything else, of course, I will update you guys in the next full episode of Forever News. But for right now, it seems like they're really just trying to gear up as much as possible, especially considering the big outrage and outpour of disappointment at Bleach getting snatched up by Disney Plus over here. I'm still kind of baffled, and I'm still wondering, like, what is that going to do to the franchise? Is there actually going to be a fandom come October for Bleach, or are people just going to be disappointed to the point of not caring? Like, this is going to be one hell of a time. But yes, people, Bleach 100 examination incoming. Moving forward, Jujutsu Kaisen fans. It seems like Studio MAPPA and everyone around has had a lot, and yet at the same time, not much to say about Jujutsu Kaisen Season 2. Obviously, we had Season 1. I want to say it ended early 2021. And then, of course, we got the Jujutsu Kaisen Zero film. So, we're waiting. We're here sitting around like, more Jujutsu Kaisen, please. And according to this, we're going to be getting more probably notable. Like, we've gotten, you know, Studio MAPPA giving conversations and whatnot, but we're probably gonna get some concrete, maybe even potentially a trailer, or at the very least a visual to understand where they're gonna start off with. Because according to this, it says Jujutsu Kaisen will broadcast a special TV program on September 18th at 17 JST after the series' broadcast of episode 24. That program will reveal new information regarding the TV anime season 2 scheduled to air in 2023. So September 18th over there in Japan, they're going to be giving us a little more insight into season 2. Again, I'm hoping for at the very least some visuals so we can see like what we're working with here and how they're going to approach this one, because it's not right away going to start with Shibuya. Again, I'd imagine maybe either half a season or a season. They're going to focus in on what comes before Shibuya. But yeah, I'm just interested to see how they're going to approach it, because you already know Studio MAPPA, they got their hands full, from Hell's Paradise to Chainsaw Man to every other another title under the sun that Studio MAPPA has grabbed. I don't want them to, you know, lack on Jujutsu Kaisen just because season one was so popular and the IP is so huge. Don't think for a second that fans are going to let you slide off with giving us mediocre or passable. This shit got a hit, and it better hit when it comes to Shibuya. Like, the stuff before it, it definitely should hit because it's really good, but Shibuya has to really freaking be done right, because that pretty much could be like Marine Ford in One Piece in terms of making the series go to even greater heights of popularity. But also, it's an amazing arc. And yeah, we're gonna finally get a little more insight into this. It seems like these movies, unfortunately, especially when they're really putting their foot into it, make us wait more for the anime. Now, granted, it's not like they're gonna completely give us, you know, everything every year. My Hero Academia is one of the few that, no, you're getting a season every freaking year, dog. But we know, of course, 2023, and come September 18th, well, whatever episode of Forever News, whatever day that comes out, I will inform you guys on what's going on. I'm just really hoping for a trailer. Like, can we even if it's a 15-second trailer, some pieces of animation just so we could see more. It's been too freaking long. It feels like it anyway. I know it's only been like close to 2 years, but I'm ready for more. Please. Domo. Okay, next up, I was actually extremely intrigued to talk about this. Even if you're not a fan of this anime or this series in particular, this one right here will probably catch your interest and give you a little bit of a holy shit, what the hell? Sailor Moon. Fighting evil burn moonlight. Yeah, that Sailor Moon. Well, not that Sailor Moon. You know what I mean. The IP Sailor Moon. Well, it was really, really big in the late 90s, early 2000s. Sailor Moon was the pretty much female Dragon Ball Z. There was Dragon Ball Z for the boys, Sailor Moon for the girls. I used to watch both with my sister, and it was a grand memory that I'll never forget in my life. And it was huge. And I never knew this rumor. Apparently, this has been a thing that has been in the anime community for many of years, that apparently Sailor Moon had an American cartoon remake that never came out. And even talking about it, I'm like, what? I always thought that the Powerpuff Girls was pretty much America's answer to Sailor Moon. Like, they tried it with Powerpuff Girls, and Powerpuff Girls was very successful, but that's what I always thought. I never freaking knew that this existed, but let's read, because it might knock your socks off, lad. The pilot episode of America's bizarre Sailor Moon remake has been found. Back in 2018, Cecilia published an exhaustive feature about the doomed attempt to remake classic anime Sailor Moon for American audiences. It was a fantastic story, but its search for unseen footage of the never-aired show sadly ended in disappointment. The project, known among fans as Saban Moon because of the involvement of kids' TV producer Haim Saban, had since the 1990s been a subject of huge interest, not just for its bizarre overall premise. Loads of anime like Macross had been heavily localized for Western audiences, and we all know about Power Rangers, but rarely had something been completely remade, but because the show had been made yet never shown. As Cecilia wrote back in 2018, Sailor Moon fandom is unquantifiably enormous. Its most extreme end has obsessed over the American live-action Sailor Moon show for decades, the same way diehard Twilight fans might hate read the entirety of 50 Shades of Grey. On scattered Sailor Moon fan sites, true connoisseurs have collected the detritus of the never-aired show. It's blasphemous, and it's hard to look away from. For decades, all fans had to go on was a blurry trailer shown at the 1995 Anime Expo. Holy shit, this was all the way back in 95? I thought this was like late 90s, early 2000s. Released at the same time the original Japanese anime was making its debut in the US. Now, 4 years after Cecilia's report, YouTuber Ray Mona has hit the jackpot. As part of her documentary, Finding Saban Moon, The Western World of Sailor Moon, Mona, with help from Cecilia, who appears in the video, manages to actually get a hold of the series' pilot episode from the Library of Congress, no less, and includes it in her film so we can all finally lay eyes upon it. And just, I'm not even gonna lie, I'm looking at it right now, I'm scrolling through just to see again. I'm glad for the most part that this didn't come to light. It's kind of cringy. The video above is just a pilot episode, but like Cecilia's report, the whole story is worth catching up on, especially for a much higher quality version of the opening credits promo. So you should start the story with the first chapter. And if you guys want, I'll have in the description below the Sailor Moon episode so you can see it for yourself. It's just really bizarre, man. I mean, back then it was a different time as well. Everything was like, yo, American audiences can't handle, you know, the children especially, they can't handle what's being made in Japan. We gotta dumb it down for them. We gotta change change, you know, Uzaki to Gabrielle. Like, we can't do all of this stuff. Nowadays, that will probably never happen again unless it's like a big understood situation. And it's not likely. It's probably never going to be a thing. But that's freaking nuts. I'm not even going to lie. I found that to be a real gem of a story that there was a Sailor Moon remake that never came out. And finally, this episode sees the light of day. I'm always going to, even with when they released Crystal and they released a new dub of Sailor Moon, for me, Sailor Moon is always going to be Fighting Evil by Moonlight, Winning Love by Daylight, Meatball Head, Darren, which I believe they actually called Dude Darren in this one as well. I don't know. It's weird. It's wild. And yeah. Yeah, Sailor Moon had a American remake. Okay, next up. Now that y'all know there's a big cancellation that went down over in Weekly Shonen Jump magazine, they recently axed another one. Only 36 chapters in, they are announcing new serializations, which has been a while, I'm not gonna lie. And occasionally, even though I'm always disappointed that Shonen Jump axes a lot of really cool shit early, I still have a mild interest into, okay, what are they gonna do next? And apparently we got a couple of looks at what's coming for the new serializations of Weekly Shonen Jump, so you'll get a little heads up on what to expect in the magazine in the next few weeks. For starters, here's the first look at a new series debuting in next week's issue of Weekly Shonen Jump, issue number 40, Dai Tokyo Oni Yo Meden, The Legend of Greater Tokyo's Demon Bride. And the mangaka is Nakama. Oh, hey, he's our Nakama. Tadeichi. And the art looks pretty cool. Looks like a delinquent on the side. And wow, it kind of looks like a softer faced Yamato from One Piece. So what if that's the reason why? Oh, God. I just cracked the code of what happened in the latest chapter of One Piece. There we go. We got Yamato, her own manga. And then the second series, starting in issue number 41, will be Ginka to Ryuna by Watanabe Shinpei. This author previously wrote Peko Peko no Yamai in issue number 21, 22, and 2021, but it is not known whether this work is related to the new series. And it says right here as well, Weekly Shonen Jump will be starting two new series in issue number 40 and 41. The first one, again, Dai Tokyo Oni Yo Meden by Nakama Tadaichi, based on the one-shot of the same name published in the magazine. And this art looks way more clear than the other one. And okay, I gotta walk it back. That doesn't look like Yamato in this art, but wow, why does it look like a full-blown anime key visual or something? That's crazy. This author knows what he's doing in terms of coloring and shit like that. And yeah, so those will be the two new series that will be replacing whatever else is going to be canceled, because we know one of the cancellations, spoiler alert, is Doron Dororon, a series that's been 36 chapters deep in Weekly Shonen Jump. And I'm not sure if they're canceling something else or they're just going to take out one and add two, but either way, yeah, two new Jump manga. Let's see what they bring to the table. Hopefully it's something interesting and exciting. And at the same time, I wouldn't be mad at it being battle-oriented. Jump is steering away from that lately. What are you doing, Shonen Jump? We like our battle series. Next up, fans of Hiro Mashima and his Eden's Zero manga. Y'all know over here on Forever News, we support and we chant and we praise Hiro Mashima for the absolute hustler that he is. And it don't stop. The hustle, the grind, and all of that stuff don't stop, because recently he said a couple of pieces of information that is going to kind of blow your mind. Well, for starters, if you're a fan of Eden Zero, this one right here, it sounds like it's about to get very, very spicy, because according to this, it says Hiro Mashima announced that the next chapters of Eden Zero will be traumatic for many people and to prepare for the worst. Wow, oh wow. I ain't gonna lie. Like, I've been catching up on a bunch of manga. I just recently caught back up with Kaiju number 8. I'm reading Dawn to Dawn. After Dawn to Dawn, more than likely, I'm gonna jump over to Eden Zero. I know I've been taking my sweet time to do it, but I'm gonna do it because I do like and I enjoy Eden Zero. And hearing this from the author himself, I love it. I love how active with the community Hiro Mashima is. This is why you get even more respect from me. I'm already very, very much so in the realm of, no, I gotta respect this dude. He hustles too freaking hard, multiple manga, video games, all sorts of stuff. But then on top of that, he's interactive with the fans. You gotta love it. But then on top of all of that, you know, the YouTube channel, multiple manga, helping with the anime, you name it, Hiro Mashima is on top of it. But Hiro Mashima is making another one, another one, another one,
another one.
According to this, it says, for all you Mashima Sensei fans out there, did you know this? He said that he is preparing to do another series at the same time as the Eden Zero and Fairy Tail 100 Years Quest series. Holy, he's doing another one?
Another one.
I am gonna lie, I respect the hustle to the max, and I am not knocking it. I just hope that he can handle it all, because drawing one manga from everything I hear sounds like a hell horror story. Drawing two manga? I don't even know how you do it. Drawing three manga at that point, hopefully it doesn't subtract from the quality of everything else that he's doing, because dude got a YouTube channel now. He's doing drawing tutorials. Dude is working on designing video games, designing other people's video games. Like, you can only do so much. I know personally that I try to do music and I try to do my content for my main channel and I try to do content over here and I try to keep up with all my social media. It is very, very daunting. Very, very daunting. So hats off to him if he can get it done. I know that Fairy Tail 100 Years Quest, I think he just writes it. He doesn't draw it. So there's that. But Hidomashima, are you human, dog? Like, how you doing this, man? I know it just motivates the living crap out of me. I know it makes me say, I can't be out hustled by him. I gotta go harder, dog. I gotta get back on the grind. I gotta get my manga going. I gotta do all of this. But yes, fans of Hidomashima and fans of Eden Zero, for starters, Eden Zero gonna be getting some depressing chapters in the next couple weeks. And Hidomashima is working on a third manga that will be released simultaneously with Fairy Tail 100 Years Quest and Eden's Zero. Man, Hidomashima, salute to the dog. Next up, quick update for Kuroko no Basket fans. It's been extremely quiet for Kuroko no Basket. After that movie, they pretty much, I don't know why, left this manga kind of not dead in the water, but dog, Kuroko was humongous. The sales were enormous. It was massively popular. The anime was big. It was insane. So I'm always going to be wondering, why did you stop Kuroko no Basket? And on top of that, just basically leave the IP there. It could very well be that the author, Fujimaki, said, I don't want to do that anymore. I don't care. Or something else. But we do know this, that Kuroko no Basket's broadcasting committee will have a new release this fall to commemorate Kuroko's basketball 10th anniversary. Kensho Ono and Yuki Ono will once again participate, and it will include the 10th anniversary song Zero Step by Grand Rodeo and Kensho Ono. And that's cool and all, but man, oh man, I wish Fujimaki would go back to Kuroko no Basket. That shit was freaking awesome. I loved Kuroko no Basket. In fact, right now, the basketball manga scene is pretty vacant. It would be a great time for somebody to come with a really interesting basketball manga series, because Kuroko was awesome, and of course Slam Dunk, one of the highest selling manga of all time, was great too, by Takahiko Inoue. Yeah, I want to see something else with this, even if it's another movie. I always wanted to see them in the NBA, man. Even if they have to switch it up and call it the BAN or whatever, I want to see them. I want to see them go up against like somebody like LeBron or Michael Jordan, you know, I don't know, a time machine, some crazy shit to bring them back to all of that. I just would love it. I want to see that shit. You never know what they could do with it, but yeah, Kuroko 10th anniversary, we might get something big with it. We'll see. I'm hoping for a new film. That's probably the best that we're gonna get, considering Fujimaki, he's pretty much tried to do other series since Kuroko ended. Sword Art Online fans, so there's apparently going to be a delay with one of the upcoming films, which, damn, there's a lot of Sword Art Online. I feel so behind. Does anybody feel like that? Like, for me, I feel ridiculously behind on Sword Art Online. I haven't seen anything since the end of season 2, the Gun Gale Online, and there was like another arc in that season as well. Like, I haven't seen nothing else since then. And I know there was the Alitization anime that was like 50 episodes, and there was the progressive film. There's been a lot of Sword Art Online. And well, the latest one, according to this, it says Sword Art Online movie progressive Scherzo of Deep Night has been postponed due to spread of COVID. Initially scheduled to release on September 10th, further date to be announced. And that sounds like a load of bull, a load of hooey, so to speak, because Dragon Ball Super Superhero One Piece Film Red, they're doing just fine. It sounds like maybe nobody gives a fuck about this film, and it's about to flop, and they're like, whoa, 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 yo, that sickness shit is out there, dog. Pull it back, pull it back, pull it back. I mean, I guess it also could be a reflection of the fandom. Maybe they know that fan base, because it's not like every series shares the same fan base. Dragon Ball fans aren't necessarily Sword Art Online fans. Could very well be that they know that the fans from that particular series take stuff like this situation more serious, and they're not gonna go to the theaters because of it. So could be them like mapping out their demographics and their habits and stuff like that, and realizing that they're not going to this movie, because let's be clear, these companies, they don't give a fuck about none of that stuff. They could put all of this in the air of, yeah, we care. No, you don't. You want money, and it's probably going to be a loss right now, not because of the spread of anything, but because the spread of no one giving a fuck about this movie. And I might be very wrong. Sword Art Online is huge. Maybe there was people lining up to the scenes for this shit, but I don't see it. I don't see them stopping it when all of these other films aren't theaters players just fine, making mad bukus of dollars. Why is any different from Sword Art Online? You know? But maybe I'm off. Let me know about that one. Do you think that it's something else? Are they legit the spread and only One Piece fans and Dragon Ball fans are able to survive at the movie theater? Sword Art Online fans can't handle it. Moving forward, fans of Parasite the Maxim, one of the best and one of my favorite anime manga out there, we have a couple of updates for you guys. For starters, regarding the manga, it says here, Parasite by Hitoshi Iwaki has 25 million copies in circulation worldwide. And I'm starting to understand that usually when they put out these circulation numbers, it's for a purpose of marketing something else. Because I was like, why would they randomly tell us about how much Parasite sold? Like, okay, that's really awesome, but what's the reason behind it? And it's because Parasite is getting a live action. According to this article, courtesy of Anime News Network, it says, Parasite manga inspires Korean live action adaptation on Netflix. And some of those Korean live actions be hitting, so don't completely write it off at all. I mean, I know they had those Parasite movies that a lot of people say sucked ass, but yeah. Netflix announced on Wednesday that it is producing a new South Korean live-action adaptation of Hitoshi Iwaki's Parasite manga titled Kaiseju the Great. Netflix will stream the show exclusively worldwide. I'm really looking forward to this now. Jeon Sonny, Ku Kyo Hwan, and Lee Jung Hyun star in the adaptation. The upcoming production is based on the manga, but will tell its own new story. Ooh, that's not good. No! The manga's great, amazing, just do a faithful adaptation. What are you doing? No! Jeon plays Jung Suing, who was attacked by a parasite, but when it fails to take over her brain, oh, they're doing a reverse, you know, gender swap. She enters a bizarre coexistence with it. Ku's character, Seol Kang-woo, is pursuing parasites to find his missing younger sister. Lee plays the leader of the Gray, a task force battling parasites whose husband was killed by them. Hitoshi Iwaki's original manga, serialized in Kodansha's Afternoon Magazine from 1990 to 95. Ah, man, I ain't even gonna lie. I was actually somewhat looking forward to this. I thought, hey, maybe they could get it right. And it's a Korean live action. Korean live action's been hitting lately, but if they're doing an original story, throw it in fire. I don't care. It's one thing to do a live action. There's risk to it. It's a whole other thing to say, oh, no, but we're telling our own story. Who the fuck wants their own? We want Parasite. I love Parasite the Maxim, created by Hitoshi Iwaki. I don't know what this is. Now I'm worried that it's gonna suck. I'm gonna keep it a buck with you. Shout outs to the manga selling 25 million, but this right here, ooh, baby, this could be an absolute train wreck and a half, plus 10 times 20 plus 1 billion. But I guess we gotta wait and see and multiply that 1 billion times 10 billion as well. Why not? Moving forward, very interesting news. It's been extremely, extraordinarily quiet for Hajime Isayama, the creator of Attack on Titan, but recently, he opened up talking about his love for, you'll never guess it, Vinland Saga. And apparently, again, according to this article from Anime News Network, Hajime Isayama and the creator of Vinland Saga were swapping and gushing over their love of each other's series. Let's read. I felt like this is a really dope little article to check out. Attack on Titan creator is a big fan of Vinland Saga. Two titans in the manga world recently sat down together for their very first joint interview. Attack on Titan's Hajime Isayama and Vinland Saga's Makoto Yukimura. The two discussed their mutual respect for each other's work, with Isayama positively gushing over how much he admires Yukimura's artwork and narrative plotting. Some highlights from the interview include, Isayama first got into Vinland Saga through the anime's adaptation of Yukimura's previous work, Planetess. Yukimura says he was inspired to write Vinland Saga because he wanted to explore his own ideas about violence through the perspective of a pre-Christian culture where violence was commonplace. Isayama says that there was a certain point in the creation of Attack on Titan when he stopped being able to control Eren. Yukimura agreed that part of being a manga creator is watching your characters take on a will of their own, and sometimes the creator has to fight against their own characters. Isayama's favorite character in Vinland Saga is Thorfinn. He is a fan of Thorfinn's guilt and humanity. Yukimura thinks that Vinland Saga anime is better than the manga. I thought he was gonna say better than Attack on Titan. I was about to say holy shit. It's better than the manga and recommends everyone watch the anime before picking up the manga. According to him, the director and screenwriter understand the manga better than he he does, and the anime smooths out certain pacing issues. Both manga creators are delighted that their works have been well received overseas. Because Isayama is a big fan of non-Japanese works, he feels like he's able to share his fandom with the entire world. He likes watching Attack on Titan reaction videos. I wonder if he's ever seen mine. Yukimura is a fan of the My Dress Up Darling anime, while Isayama has recently finished binge watching Stranger Things on Netflix. He wants to watch The Boys and Obi-Wan. Watch The Boys, Isayama. Go watch The Boys right now. It is freaking amazing. In fact, bonus little story right here. They actually recently revealed that they're already working on season 4 of The Boys. I've seen a script. I've seen some of the crew and the talent together. I am so pumped for that. Vinland Saga transitioned into a full digital workflow during the pandemic around the time he was working on chapters 168 through 169. Yukimura particularly respects Isayama for being able to draw Attack on Titan consistently without a break, something to which he is not able to do. Despite working on a monthly serial, he only drew 16 pages last month. On the flip side, Isayama admires Yukimura for his meticulously detailed art and foreshadowing, remarking that the breaks are necessary to create such a consistently high quality work. And I ain't gonna lie, that was actually really enjoyable to listen to. It was also nice to kind of hear Isayama come out of his shell after a long while, although I'd imagine they probably did that to promote both the fact that Vinland Saga's return. Oh god, these are both MAPPA works now, right? I forgot, Studio Wit gave up both of them. MAPPA got Vinland Saga Season 2 incoming, and the final season, final part of Attack on Titan as well. Yeah, makes sense. Great cross-marketing, and getting Hajime Isayama outside is a nice treat as well, because after the end of Attack on Titan, Mans has been hiding somewhere in the world that nobody can find them. But shout out to both authors and shout outs to both series. Two really awesome works, maybe minus the ending of one of them, but yeah. I try to not be as biased as I possibly can, but every now and then my opinion gotta slip through, alright? Small update for One Piece manga. It just says here, One Piece will be on break next week in Weekly Shonen Jump issue number 40, and the series will resume in issue number 41 as scheduled, which Oda has been dropping bomb after bomb. I'm not mad at it, although some might say they were a little bit disappointed with the ending of Wano, but usually when there's a break coming, that's actually something to be excited for, because Oda always leaves off on a really exciting cliffhanger. So I'm betting that the next chapter of One Piece is probably going to be massively fuego, and I'm looking forward to that. But yeah, I always say give these authors some breaks. I understand there's a disappointing aspect of we want our manga, but at the same time, Oda's been doing this too long to not have his breaks. So yeah, One Piece going on break next week. I ain't mad at it. Moving forward, we got the Weekly Shonen Jump and Weekly Shonen Magazine author comments courtesy of Shonen Jump and Jose underscore Ke. Let's read. I guess let's start off with the Weekly Shonen Magazine because it feels like it's been forever since we had had one of these. We got George Morikawa, author of Hajime no Ippo. I'm so blessed to be surrounded by incredible allies. Well, shout outs to him. It seems as though he's really getting in the swing of things with hanging with these new authors in the manga industry. Then we got Kei Urana, Gachi Akuta, back after that break. Thanks to Obon, I was able to sleep, play around, and recharge my spirit and body. Thanks for the break. I still want to play around, so fucking bad. What? Alrighty then. Hey. Hidomashima from Eden Zero and Fairy Tail and every other great thing that he does. I started YouTube about 2 months ago, and I've already run out of material. Please send help. Draw cool shit. And talk. Tell experiences. Tell the time that, I don't know, you shit it on yourself at a gas station or something. Say some really interesting stories. I would love to hear any and all of them. Get somebody to translate. You got a massive fan base over here in the West. We want that stuff. Keep going, Hiro. Mad support. Ken Wakui, author of Tokyo Revengers. Jeez, is it me or have crane games become surprisingly difficult lately? I couldn't get the Mikey doll I really wanted from one. No, they're trying to rip people off. They just want you to put your coins in there. Don't worry about it. That's really what's happening. Negi Hadaba, author Ranger Reject. My former assistant bought me a coffee mill for my birthday from my wife. I obtained Xenoblade 3. Ooh, your wife really loves you there, buddy. Nakaba Suzuki, author Four Nights of the Apocalypse. The essay manga I've been devouring lately are from Naoko Takagi and Roswell Hosoki. Shoutouts to him. And we'll close this one off with Yoshitoki Oima's To Your Eternity. I should have gone to the City of Water Festival in Ogaki. What the hell is that? That sounds actually really fun. Then as we mosey on over to the Weekly Show Shonen Jump author comments. Let's see here. We've got Gege Akutami, author of Jujutsu Kaisen. I went back and forth and finally decided to switch to the noise tone. Which Naoya do you prefer? I prefer the Naoya that is dead. We got My Hero Academia's Kohei Horikoshi. I bought the Tabi Girl art book I've been interested in. It'd be so fun if I could draw like that. Hajime Komoto, author of Marshall. The radio show Kei Chudoku is so good. I really recommend it. We don't have that over here. Sorry. No. Eiichiro Oda, creator of One Piece. I gave the One Piece card game starter decks to my staff and they played for like 10 hours. Is it that fun? I'm gonna try it. Dog, there's a new One Piece card game that I've been waiting and waiting. Apparently it doesn't come over here to the West until December. I think I'm gonna actually, like, cause I haven't been into collecting cards and nothing like that in a long time. My nephew's big into One Piece. I'm not really a big card collector. I think I'm gonna jump in with this one. I would love to have some of these cards, especially like, ooh, gear 5th, give, oh my god, I need those cards right now. Although that's probably gonna be a long ways off. I'd imagine the first box is just gonna be like maybe gear 2nd, stuff like that. But I could be wrong, who knows? We got Yuki Tabata, author of Black Clover. My friend in battle, Toyotaka Hanade, is doing the art for a Jump Plus series. Another friend in battle, Masayoshi Satosho, has a one-shot in Jump Giga. Tabata always putting his peoples on. Shoutouts to him. And then, Doron Dororan's author, Gen Osuka. I'm scarfing down Super Cup Choco Mint to cool down and survive the heat. Delish. I'm sorry, dog. I'm sorry what they did to you, man. 36 chapters in. We almost was there. Shoutouts again, Osuka. Come back stronger, dog. If, you know, Tabata, Hungry Joker got canceled, came back Black Clover, Barrage got canceled, Horikoshi came back with My Hero, you can do it, but yeah. And last but not least, we'll close this episode out with the top 50 best-selling manga of the week, courtesy of Jose_Ke. And coming in at number 50 is Kaiju No. 8, Volume 7, with 18,000 this week, bringing its total to 515,000. That is interesting. Kaiju No. 8 failing to, well, it did 500,000 before falling out the top 50. Kind of strange to me, to be honest with you. I thought that it would have been in the top 50 a lot longer because, well, it was in there for a decent amount of time. Then we got at 49, Kinukuman, Volume 79, 18,000. I'm still bugged out like, yo, they put on a new Kinukuman? Okay. we got Spy Family littered all throughout from places 47 to 43, Spy Family. At number 42, Tokyo Revengers. Ooh, it might actually fall out the top 50 before hitting that mill, bringing in 20,000 this week at 848 total. I wonder if it's going to hit a mill before leaving. That's gonna be interesting. Then Spy Family again at number 41. Wow, that anime, can't stress how much it did for it. Then going from places 40 to 31, Spy Family again. One Piece Volume 101 at 37. I think Film Red is helping to sell some of the latest volumes. I'm calling it 21,000, bringing it to 1.8. Let's see here, we got Spy Family again at 32. Jesus. My Hero Academia Volume 35 at number 31, with 22,000.9 this week, bringing its total to 610,000. My Hero still going strong despite any hate that comes its way. It's still showing that it's great. Places 30 through 21, Sakamoto Days Volume 8, 23,000. Yeah, oh, that, we out of here, baby. We 76,000 deep. We out of here, dog. Let's freaking go. Ooh, Ranking of Kings Volume 14. Wow, how many days was it in? Hold on, it's a little bit. Is that 3 days? Okay, 20, almost 24,000 3 days. That's not bad. Ranking of Kings is very good. You should be checking it out. Then we got Don to Don Volume 6, and I want to say that 6 days, let me double check. No, 11 days I want to say. Almost 100k, not bad at all. Amazing numbers. And I've actually picked Don to Don back up recently, been having a nice little blast with it. And we got Blue Box Volume 6 at number 25, selling almost 30,000 this week, 91,000. Yeah, that's gonna stick around and get an anime for sure at this point. Shokugeki no Sanji at Volume 22, 31,000 this week, 93,000 total. Not really much of a shocker. Places 20 through 11, we got One Piece Volume 102 with 33,000 this week, 1.78. very, very good. Let's see here, then more One Piece. One Piece Episode A Volume 2 with 39,000. One Piece Episode A Volume 1, 40. Wow, so 40,000 people picked up both of those books. All right, we see you there, One Piece fans. Then we got top 10 at number 10, Dragon Ball Super Volume 19, 47,164. I'm shocked that with the Dragon Ball Super superhero film like booming the way it is, that back catalog volumes of Dragon Ball Super aren't flying off the shelves. That's a little interesting. Oh well, no, actually I take it back, it's doing horrible in Japan. What am I saying? I'm thinking of the West. Never mind. Then jumping all the way to top two, at number two, Jujutsu Kaisen Volume 20 with 313,000, bringing its total to 1,097,000 this week. I wonder if they're including both volumes, because suddenly the special edition is not here on the list, so maybe that's compiling both. I can't recall now, but yeah, shout outs to Jujutsu Kaisen. And of course, number one, the big one, One Piece, 349,000 this week at number one. 2 weeks in a row with 1.6. You know that Film Red is helping out massively, because last volume, if I'm not mistaken, it took a little minute to break that million. But baby, we here. One Piece greatness. But yeah, people, that's all we have for today's episode. Curious what you guys think. Most important story, favorite story of the episode, something I didn't mention, you want me to mention it, let me know. I'm Phenomenal World, and as always, people, have an awesome day.
And remember the golden rule:
anime and manga
for life, boy.
Have an awesome day. Peace, and you guys just watched another episode of
Whatever News.
Have an awesome day.
I have a dream, alone in my room as I sit with the tea. Couldn't possibly think what I often see, and you don't even know how I often blink. Lights be flashing and looking at me, such an odd unique, yet I'm so unique, and you're looking at me. If the walls could talk, they would probably repeat, and I'd probably say, bitch, get the fuck off me.